So let's bring Glenn up, and then I want to tell you that Glenn has been really kind of a light for Slolia with his stories. They've been pretty incredible stories of his life, and so I'm really looking forward to hearing his last one here up on the Slolia stage. So please welcome Glenn.
Well, I am mourning this horribly, but I love Kirk. He's the best. You know, he took us all on a ride, an incredible ride with his Slolia Enterprise. We went off and saw the stars, and all of you got up and gave testimonies that were just wonderful and fabulous and have enriched my life. And so for me, when I first found out about Slolia, it was like, I don't know, a light in a dark place. I mean, I came here and I couldn't believe it because nobody wants to listen to my stories. I mean, nobody wants to hear what I have to say. But here, you're trapped. You're stuck. You have to listen to me. So it's just wonderful. I just get to blather on, right? So the theme is Last Dance. And I really couldn't, all these thoughts were just parading around in my mind. And I really couldn't come up with anything solid. But I begin to think of my introduction to dancing. Okay. That was a long time ago. That was, what, 28 years ago, 30 years ago, 35 years ago, maybe? And the first time I really got affected by dancing was when I was, I think, 25. Oh, no, it was actually before that with Diane, a girl I met right after high school. She got me to do swing dancing with her at the Hyatt Regency Hotel one night. And I had never danced before in my life, and she got me to do it. She could just about get me to do anything. I mean, that girl was magic as far as I was concerned. And so there we were swing dancing, and before I knew it, five other couples came out and started dancing with us. I didn't know how to swing dance. I don't know how to dance, okay? I just dance. I don't care. But she got me to dance that one night. That was the last time we danced. We never danced again. We ended up partying the next 5 years. We moved in together. We had an apartment together. I ended up an alcoholic. She ended up hooked on heroin. So, end of story, out on the streets. So, my next introduction to dancing is this crazy maniac girl named Birdie. I've told you about her. She was nuts, nuts as nuts could be. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I saw her because I was sitting on the street corner. I was kind of coming out of it, you know, and seeing the world around me, I knew I needed to get another drink pretty quick. But there's this girl, and she's dancing at the light, at the crosswalk. She's dancing. And she pressed the button, the light changed, and she skipped across the street, and she's dancing on the other side. Presses the button, and she kept doing that over and over again. But the thing that was most amazing was her dancing. There was no music. There was just traffic. People walking by, people driving by on cars, in cars and bicycles, looking at her like, oh my God, it's a crazy woman, right? But I could not keep my eyes off her. She was dancing, and I mean, her dancing was beautiful. So, of course, after a few days of that, I had to go talk to her, and we ended up sort of hooking up, and we ended up spending 2 years on the streets together. And that girl was always dancing. I mean, there was no music. I used to look at her and think, what is playing in her head? Because she was nonverbal. She didn't talk, didn't say a word. She only said three sentences the whole time we were together for 3 years. So, 2 years. And so every time we went somewhere, I'd kind of look around at her, and there she was, dancing around and twirling around and throwing her hands around like that, you know, just dancing to something. I don't know what. And I was amazed because her dance moves were really good. Anyway, 2 years, time passed quick. I end up getting thrown into a mental institution, get off alcohol. It wasn't really that kind of place, but the good doctor allowed me to stay there. He wanted to help me. So when I got out, I had heard from my friends that she had overdosed and died. So I thought, I was devastated. I mean, this girl I spent 2 years with, she watched my back. She took care of me. She was more than a mother to me. She was kind-hearted. She was sweet. She gave, you know, she brought me food. She made sure I ate. She brought me whiskey, too, but she brought me food. You know what I'm saying? So I was devastated, and I remember thinking about all I wanted to do was start drinking again because I was just so mentally just down. And so I went back to the street corner that I'd met her, And I was sitting there and I started to get angry because I thought, why? Why did she have to overdose? Why did she have to leave me? You know, it was my fault. When I got out of the place, I went to stay with my dad. I should have went out in the streets and found her, you know, and I was angry at myself. And so I remember I stood up and I started dancing and I pushed the damn button, said walk, and I skipped across the street and started dancing on the other side, and I pushed the button again. And when I got out in the middle of the street, I started screaming, why her? I just started screaming at the top of my lungs. And a cop rolls by real slow, and he looks at me and he goes, like that. I said, okay. So I went and sat down. Anyway, she was on the other side of the street. She hadn't died. She got hooked up with this House of Refuge group. And so she was all cleaned up. I didn't even recognize her. And she came over and got me. And of course, we had to dance at the crosswalk and skip across the street. But that's another story. I ended up having another bout with a bottle. I ran into the pastor of the House of Refuge, and he was going to a church in Redwood City. And it just so happened that she was going there too. Now, this church was a Pentecostal church. They believed in four major doctrines. They had this incredible, weird sort of slant on Christianity that I totally adored. I didn't at first, but Bertie talked me into staying there. And one of the main things that they did was when the music got really hot and heavy, people got out and danced. Now, it wasn't dancing as you would probably like to see, because it was more like this. Let's see. It was kind of like, hands raised, eyes closed. Eyes have to be closed. So a lot of times we had people get injured. Like one guy busted his head open, one guy broke his arm. You know, so I mean, that, you know, because you're up there and you're going like this, you're turning round and round, and I fall out the window, right? But that's the way it was. You were trying to get into this trance. And that's my goal. That was my goal. I wanted to dance till I got into this trance. And at times, I almost got there. It was just a, I don't know, it was like a sexual experience. You would get to the point where you're so tired, you're covered, you're drenched. By the way, I had to get washed and wear suits because we went to church four nights a week. We danced every single night. So I needed five wash and wear suits because I had to have an extra suit every time I went to church, and I had to be able to wash these suits. I couldn't take the dry cleaners. So I would dance till I was completely drenched, and that's what we did. That's what the church did, along with the indoctrination and everything else. And I never did see Bertie dance because your eyes are closed. So that was it. 12 years, 15 years in that church, and then it ended. And what they'd done was I never told anybody, but Bertie was a lesbian. And she kept that secret. She never told anybody, although the pastor of the House of Refuge, Steve, knew she was a lesbian. And I'll never forget that meeting because I was so angry. I was so angry during that meeting because there they had her in this chair, and they were just berating her and calling her everything in the book. And I remember I stood up at that meeting and I said, who the hell do you think you are? Why are you judging her? This woman fasted 30 years for Andy. I mean, 30 days for Andy. She was the only one that lasted 30 days. You can't tell me that God didn't love that. And the pastor just said, brother, you're out of order. Get the hell out of here. And so he threw me out. And I don't know. I had seen her dance in Copenhagen. We went to a bar when we're in Copenhagen, and she bought me a shot, and I was surprised that she bought me a shot, and I drank it down. And after we'd finished her shot, I just looked at her and said, well, you know I'm an alcoholic. And she says, no, you were an alcoholic. You're not anymore. It's a different world. It's over. That part is over. We're just having a drink together. We're having a good time. And I thought, wow, that's pretty good. But she got up and danced, and it was like the old days, you know, when I used to see her dancing out in the streets, and it was beautiful. And everybody in the bar just kind of looked at her and watched her dancing around. It was so incredible. So after I left the church, I had this big, huge void in my life, you know, and I didn't know what to do with myself, and I'd lost my house, I lost my wife, I'd lost all my friends. And I didn't have anybody. I was living in an apartment for an entire year. I had some friends I played racquetball with, and they finally got me to go out to this huge dance club called Celebrities in Fremont, California. And when I walked into that place, it was like walking into Disneyland, because there were lights. It was the old Fremont skating rink, and there was this humongous, you could take two graduate dance floors and stick it in this place, and you would still have room. I mean, it was humongous, and they had lights in the floor, and they had this light show and big old DJ booth, you know, and he was always doing things like making paper airplanes, throwing them through hoops for shots, things like that, you know. It was just a fun place to go. And the problem was this. That's all I knew how to do. I didn't know how to dance, right? So I decide, what the hell? So I get out there and I'm dancing. My best friend Doug, his girlfriend Nancy, walks out there and she just stands there and she looks at me. She says, what the fuck are you doing? And I said, I'm dancing. She says, that's not dancing. That's jumping around like an idiot. And I said, well, that's all I know how to do. She says, okay, stop jumping. Stop jumping. Okay, she said, this is what I want you to do. Hold my hands. I said, okay. She says, okay, so let's move like this. And we'll just move like this, like that. Okay, twirl me. Okay, and then I'm going to step over here. And so that's what we did the rest of the night, was we just did this to rock and roll crazy music, right? And I thought, wow, that's different. But every time I went out with them, I learned how to dance well, not the Christian style, you know, like normal dancing. So years passed, and I continued to dance. I still dance. I go to Harry's on Friday, sometimes Saturday. I go to, what is it called, at the graduate, Big Chill. I go to Big Chill, and I love to dance, and that's what I do. But I've always wondered, you know, I really miss Birdie. I really miss her a lot. The last time I saw her, she was thrown out of the church and she was shunned, and we were not supposed to talk to her. But she came to where I worked. I was working at a company called Syntex, and she came to where I worked. And I remember one of the elders was my boss. His name was Ken. And when she walked into the mailroom, Ken just looks at me. And he says, you know the rules. And I said, I know, damn it, but you know what? I owe this girl my life, and I love her, and I can't just shun her. I love her too much. And Ken says, go on, get out of here. So we went up to the cafeteria, and all we did was talk. And we talked about the old days, and we talked about our life on the streets, and she told me some things that she'd never told me before. She said when she first met me, believe it or not, in the dirty, messed up condition I was in, she said when I first talked to her, she saw this great, beautiful light. And I said, are you kidding me? I was a mess. She says, I know, but that's what I saw. That's why I kept following you around, because all I saw was light. When you were there, you were my light. When you were gone, I was in darkness and I was lost. She said, but when you were there, you were my light. That's why I stayed with you for 2 years. And when they took you away, I lost it and I overdosed and I wanted to die. But I didn't. God brought me back. God saved me. God sent me a vision that told me to go find you. And I found you. And we've been together all these years and we shared some marvelous experiences. And she said, but you know what? I think the time is for us to go our separate ways. She said, I think our journey is over. I love this girl. I want to be with this girl. We're moving to San Francisco. And so I walked her out to the parking lot, and then she did this. She grabbed my hands, and she just started swaying back and forth. And we just started dancing out in the parking lot. And I thought, that's the last dance. But you know what I want to do? I want to go back to that street corner we first met. And I keep thinking, this timing's got to be right. I know if I get the timing right, I'll go back to that street corner, I'll dance, I'll press the button, I'm going to skip across the street, dance on the other side, press the button, and when I cross the other side, I'll see her again. Right? But it has to be the right timing. I love this man. I love you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. You're the best.
Thanks a lot.